This is the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May this timeless message bless you today. And remember, a life on fire is a life well spent.
My wife asked me to go with her shopping. We went into Barnes & Noble, and she was buying some books. One of them, I think, was for me, so I stayed away. And I looked at the first table where they put the latest number ones and so on, and one of them was about Christmas. Of course, there were several on Christmas. One of them was When Jesus Became God. I didn't buy it, but the subtitle was something that it was at the end of the Roman Empire that he became God. So I thought, I'm not going to spend money on this. But it got me thinking about the luncheon. And I thought, what if with so many immigrants in America, I thought, what would they think about all this music and these funny little trees that are lit up and funny little elves up outside the shopping malls and choirs singing on weekends? And what if they wanted to know, why are these funny people doing this strange stuff? And they do it once a year and they get worked up and their economy depends on it. You know, what is this all about? But nevertheless, I got to thinking, I'd like you to allow me to explain to you as cheerfully as I can what it's all about. We call it the season of cheer. You know, is it about Santa Claus? I don't think so, but a lot of kids beginning to think so. Is it about jingle bells, and throwing some coins in the Salvation Army can wherever you do your shopping? Or is it, you better watch out, you better not shout, he's coming to get you tonight or something? I mean, is that what it's about? I mean, it's a fair question, even in America today. And the answer is no, it's not about that, though that's a lot of fun. I've always felt the kids should have fun. Let's enjoy it, you know. But from time to time, you do have to think, why are we doing this? Before the dawn of history, when the first parents, Adam and Eve, actually committed their first sin, of which you and I have become the followers, God promised a rescuer, somebody who would eventually come in his due time, and that he would come into the world to rescue the human race. Number two, through the ages, God painted a very rational, vivid, colorful, symbolic pictures, which are found in the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, as we call it, to show God's love in his rescue operation. Number three, God chose one human family through which to prepare the way to produce the rescue operation for a fallen human race. And we are a fallen human race. We are very aware that we're a race in trouble. Let's face it, we have a lot of troubles. We need a rescue operation. Number four, God chose to introduce the rescuer through that human family. That human family, of all the human families, was the nation of Israel. And then, number five, again, out of the nation of Israel, God chose one tribe, the tribe of Judah, through whom to bring in the rescuer. That one tribe, the rescuer. Number six, he clearly and progressively, through the centuries, painted pictures and gave us details of how the rescue operation would take place. And the key ingredient in that rescue operation and God's rescue plan is that he would personally intervene, become a man, and do something that was necessary to rescue a fallen, hurting, pained, troubled human race. And that brings us, of course, to the Christmas celebration from the Christian point of view. And that is that when Jesus was born of a Jewish girl called Mary, which we now call the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that God, by his Spirit, introduced himself into the human race as he had promised through the prophet Isaiah when he said, a virgin shall have a child, and he was the rescuer. The redeemer is the term that we use. But I use rescuer because redeemer is more difficult to explain. So he was born. And that's what Christmas is all about. The trees are fun. I don't know who came up with the trees. It's a great idea. Why not? It speaks of new life. It speaks of a new beginning. It speaks of evergreen, whatever that says. But you know, the key of it all is a rescuer came into the human race to rescue us and get us out of this trouble. And one of the ways that God expressed this rescue operation was by giving Jesus certain names. And those names actually say to us what the point was all about. So if you don't mind for a second, I'd like to read just very quickly the two historical events that are for us in Scripture about the rescue operation introduction into the human race. First of all, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. You know the story, but I thought I'd let God speak for himself. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, sexually that is, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet," that is the prophet Isaiah, "'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." And I hope you don't mind another historical record in Luke chapter 2, verse 26. Listen to this. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." Remember, she was a teenager. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, King David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said,' and the angel left her." Now that's the historical reading of what happened. There are six names that I particularly want to point out today. First, Jesus. In Hebrew, the word is Yeshua, which means, like we say, Joshua. Jesus is just another way of saying Joshua in the English language. And it means God Savior, or God our Savior. I realize, you notice, when the angel spoke to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he said to her, "You shall call his name Jesus, because, in accordance with his name, he shall save his people from their sins." How good it is to be able to say the very whole purpose of the incarnation of the Son of God on that Christmas day. He didn't come just to be born and to honor babies. He didn't just come to honor the family or to say, you know, families are great. Don't you dare have an abortion because every baby is worthwhile. He could have said that, but he didn't. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins." When I was flying back from Italy, I was thinking about today's luncheon, and I was reading the Wall Street Journal, the Herald Tribune, all sorts of magazines that you get for free on the airplanes, and I cut out some that I paid for. I had several little stories out of those three papers, the European papers, and then Kiplinger's. One is the IRS cracking down on offshore trusts. I'm sure no Oregonian involved in such things. But I thought, we need a savior when we try to sneak away from paying taxes that we should be paying legally. Then there was another one for those of you who know anything about cricket. The Indian cricket captain was banned for life because he was cheating and throwing games. And I thought, we need a savior. Then there was another one. A hacker downloads patients' records from an American hospital. We need a savior from hackers and other naughty people who use the computer for ill effect. Then there's one about a financial institution that's in the news very often. I won't mention it because some of you may work for it. But the fact is that they were not behaving very well and doing certain people in, charging fees that never showed up. I thought, we need a savior. And then we had a visit here in Portland from Cornell University psychologist James Garbarino. I was out of town when he came, but my wife kept a piece of paper about social toxicity, and he wrote a book entitled Lost Boys. I bought the book. I haven't read it yet. But he talks about how boys in America, and he's a brilliant psychologist, how boys in America are in trouble because we've got a social disease, he says. And then they ask him, how can we solve it? And the Oregonian reporter, he asked him some very great questions, the same I would have asked. And he mentions all sorts of things. Better education, more solid homes, better training, clubs for boys in the city. He never once mentioned, I don't know his spiritual position, that the spiritual end of things would do a lot of good for lost boys. And so when you say that one of the names given to Jesus was Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins, dear friends, we all need a savior. And God Almighty planned it from the dawn of history and through the people of Israel, because that was his choice. It wasn't that they're superior or inferior. He just chose to show himself that through the people of Israel, through the tribe of Judah, the Savior would come, and he came. And if some of you are hurting, come running. You know, that's what Christmas is all about. That's why it's a cheerful time. It's a happy time. We don't want to review our sins, but we want to review the fact that we were forgiven. And that is a beautiful thing to know, that God is a good God and a forgiving God. Many of us in this room, I know I am one, who counsels a lot of couples in trouble. You don't hear very often, I forgive you. Usually today, the answer is, I am leaving you. And it's not that it's always wrong to do that. There are times when it's the only way out. However, what a difference it makes when a loving wife or a loving husband says to the spouse, okay, it's pretty bad, but I forgive you. And you know, that is a picture of what God will do with any one of us, any single one of us. Understand that Christmas is about God becoming a man to be able to die on a cross, where he paid for everything wrong we've ever done, whether it's in business, whether it's in sports, whether it's in family, whether it's personal, sexual, whatever it may be, anything that haunts our conscience, forgiveness is necessary. And we all know people who, having forgiven their spouse, even when the spouse is gone, they are set free. And one of the most difficult things is to say to someone, okay, your spouse has done you in, but if you are able to forgive them, you will be set free. And many often say, if you are a counselor like I am, they may say to you, I can't forgive them. It was too much. You can understand. But the answer is the words of the Apostle Paul. As God in Christ forgave you, so you also forgive one another. If you were done in business and your partner has really done you in big time, not easy to forgive. But if you receive God's forgiveness, it's much easier to forgive the other person. So Jesus came to save us. That's what Christmas is all about. Number two is the name, the Son of the Most High. Did you notice the angel said to the Blessed Virgin, he shall be called the Son of the Most High. Why? Because that speaks of his pre-incarnate state, of the glory he had before by the Holy Spirit in the mystery that we cannot explain 100%. But when we get to heaven, it's all going to be very clear. How could God become a man? I can't wait to get there. I'm no rush, but I mean, when I get there, okay, when I get there, I can't wait to say, God, explain this to me. I can't wait to hear the explanation. And we're going to say, boy, that was simple, but it looks very complicated from this end. But the Son of the Most High, how God can be one and yet be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a wonderful mystery that by faith you enjoy it and you understand it. He is the Son of the Most High. He existed in glory before the creation of the world, before Adam and Eve were ever created. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit enjoyed the oneness of the Trinity for eternity. He is the Son of the Most High. That's why the song says, "Oh, come, let us adore him." Number three, the name is Emmanuel. You notice when the angel came to Joseph, the stepfather, the human stepfather of Jesus, descendant of King David of Israel, he said, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And you know, no matter how far a person may have drifted, no matter what blasphemies may have come out of our mouth, no matter how horrible our lifestyle may have been, whether junior high, high school, college, or afterwards, but we've done things we're very ashamed of, God is still with us. He is Emmanuel. And one of the Christmas songs is entitled that way, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When you hear it sung, remember what it means. It's again a Hebrew word, but it means God is with us. But God isn't with us just as a sort of a good grandpa who doesn't care what you do and pats you on the head and says, "It's all right, you're my grandchild. Go ahead and steal more money from your mom." No, it isn't quite that way. God is with us, but he expressed his being with us when he allowed himself to be crucified. And you know, men and women didn't crucify Christ. He died by his own choice. He said, "I lay down my life of my own free will. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to pick it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." We often try to pin blame on who crucified Christ. It was not human beings. It was our sinfulness that drove him to choose to go to a cross so that Luis Palau and everybody in this luncheon could know God is with us, and he proved it by allowing himself to be crucified on a cross. It's a wonderful story. But now that the cross is over, Jesus Christ is also called the Messiah. That is, the anointed one, the one that God prepared to do that very thing and that he prophesied. And that's why when they sing, I don't sing the Messiah. I'd wreck it if I did. But I do like to go downtown and hear the Messiah almost every Christmas. And when suddenly they start singing Hallelujah Chorus, and everybody stands up because they sing the Hallelujah Chorus, which reminds us of title number five, which is the King, the King. And that's why Christmas is such a glorious time. Because yes, the whole incarnation is mysterious and we often have a million thoughts about it. The cross is very solemn because, goodness gracious, God paying for my sins, that's the most amazing story ever told. And he did it. That's how God proved that he's with us, that he loves us, that God is love. He had to pay a severe price himself for us. But then he rose from the dead. He's now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore Christmas is a lot of fun. But it isn't fun until you yourself have experienced what I've experienced. That is, that Jesus Christ, and this is the last name I'm mentioning, there's 365 names, by the way, in the Bible for Jesus. The last one I'm mentioning is Lord. The angel says to the Virgin Mary, "He is the Lord, the Lord." That means he is supreme. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the book of Revelation tells us. But we have to acknowledge him as our Lord. We all serve somebody. The point is, whom do we serve? And the great message of Christmas is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there is a God who loves you, who became a man, who is with you, who paid the price, who's alive, and who says, "Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate." Because the story is a wonderful story. And if you have a sense of guilt because you failed God, repent and run into the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ, who says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes look to my ways." Make him Lord of your life. And then hear the words of Jesus Christ, "I forgive you. I forgive you." And then ask God that your relatives, your business partners, your friends, your neighbors, those that you may have offended, will have the grace even to say to you, "I forgive you too." But dear friends, I want to just close giving everybody an opportunity. in this wonderful, happy, brief, quick moment at lunch to say those words, Lord Jesus, I repent. And second, Lord Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that you open your heart and you invite him into your life. And then secondly, once he comes in, that you submit to him and that you say, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. And whatever it takes, I will do. Confess to my wife, okay, it'll be something else, but I'll do it if that's going to clear the decks, and pray that she'll say, I forgive you. Secondly, obedience. Is there anything I need to change in my life? Okay, whatever the price, I will do it because he will give me the strength. But you know, if you say to me, Luis, how shall I do that bit about making him Lord of my life? It's very simple. There was a jail keeper in the early centuries who asked that same question of the Apostle Paul. He'd thrown him in jail just because he was talking about Jesus in the early days of the Roman Empire. And then an earthquake came and all of their prisons were open and the jailer thought they were all going to run away and he'd lose his job and maybe his life. And so he cried out, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul said, don't worry, don't kill yourself. He was about to commit suicide. We're all here. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. And you may say, well, Luis, I believe. It doesn't seem to catch. What is it? What is the trick? I believe in him. I've always believed in him. I've never blasphemed him. The key is to invite him into your heart. And so I close with giving you an opportunity to do that very thing, to make him your Lord and to say, Lord, I make you the Lord of my life. And he will become your Lord and he'll guide your life. We often hope and dream that a person goes, bang, they open their heart to Christ and they become Mother Teresa overnight, you know? I mean, perfect saints or something. The fact is that there's a lot of things that need to be sorted out, but the beginning starts when you open your heart to him. So the key is, Jesus says, you remember, I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice, he says, and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. That's the decision I made as a boy in Argentina. Maybe you are ready to make it right now. So why don't we bow our heads and have a prayer to this loving God who calls himself Savior, God who is with us, the Lord of glory. And if you say, Luis, how shall I do it? I think I'll explain it one more time before we pray, and it's this. It's like if I go to your house after lunch or tonight, and I knock on the door, and you look out the window, and there I am standing. You've got to make a decision. If you want me to come in, all you have to do is say, Luis, come on in, and open the door, and I come in. And that's what Jesus Christ says. I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you. And then he adds these beautiful thoughts. I will eat with you and you will eat with me. In other words, he's saying we'll have a party that will never end. We'll eat together. We'll have a ball together because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So I'll lead you in a prayer. If you feel it in your soul, just pray it quietly. You don't have to pray out loud. In this moment that could be unforgettable to you. Oh God, my Father, you are a good God. You're a God of love. You cared for us, a rebellious, fallen race. And you chose to become a human, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in your love, you died on that cross to remove all the guilt and the failure and the falling short and the shame that most of us carry around. Thank you, Lord, that your work on the cross was perfect. And then you rose from the dead. And you are the King of Kings. And you are the Lord of Lords. And, oh, Lord, we stand and sing in our hearts the Hallelujah chorus. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right now, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Please whisper to my soul the words, I forgive you. And we thank you, our Father in heaven, that you have clearly said, your sins and evil behavior I will remember no more. Thank you, O God. I am forgiven. You are now my Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.